Hello, am I on? Hello? Yeah, can you hear me? Cool. Whew, that was good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege to be able to share from God's Word with you this evening. I don't do it very often, and I always get really nervous leading up to it. But you know what? God is so faithful, and He always proves Himself and proves me wrong, I should say. So yeah, let's just pray together. Father, I just thank You for this privilege, Lord, to look at Your Scripture, Lord, and to bring something, Lord, that is of worth, something that can strengthen us, something that can encourage us and build us up, Lord, in our faith. Lord, build us as a family, Lord, and loving and encouraging one with another. Help us, Lord, this evening. Open our hearts, open our minds, Father God, to receive from You, from Your Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that whatever is said, whatever is done, Lord, Lord, that You would receive the glory, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, right. Going to look at Colossians chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to look at two verses. Just to give you a little bit of background about Colossians, I'm not an expert, but essentially this is the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossian church, and he's encouraging them to continue in the grace they received from Christ. Sorry, I've got a lot of reverb on this, Vic. And encourage them with what they were taught. What's happened is there's been a bit of heresy. So there's been a bit of a distraction or a deviation from the truth. And the truth being that Christ is Lord. And it appears that there's been a lot of influence and they've been persuaded and different things. And for whatever reason, they've been distracted from the truth they were taught. And the truth being the gospel message of Christ. Christ and Christ's grace to them. So I'm just going to pick it up at verse 6 and 7. This is Paul encouraging me. He says, "So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." You see, Paul in verse 8 picks it up and he says that they had been taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. So they'd become distracted. They'd allowed other influences to come in and distract them from the truth. So we're going to look at how Paul encourages them to remember, and particularly he talks about three things. So we're going to do an overview of first about how Jesus Christ is Lord. So he says, just as you received Christ as Lord, and we look at what that means and how we can apply that to our lives today, continue to live your lives in Him. And then how we do that? How do we continue to live our lives in Him? So there's a few things. The first thing is that we need to be rooted and built up. Okay? Or built up in Him. Him meaning Jesus Christ. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And then there's an overflowing of thankfulness. Okay? So we're going to look at these things tonight. My notes are a little bit all over the place, so you have to bear with me. So picking it up at Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. "So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So we receive Jesus Christ, okay? And he expresses it as, you know, it's not just we receive Christ and, you know, for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, tremendous as it is, right? Christ came and He gave His life for us. And He redeemed us back to the Father. There is more to say about that than accepting Jesus Christ. Because it needs to be Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay? So we have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord over our lives. Which means that He's got to be Lord in every situation. Okay? And how do we do that? It's difficult. And what happens is, Paul encourages us and he says, you've got to be rooted. You can't know Jesus as Lord unless you're rooted and built up in Christ. Okay? And you know, that comes with massive consequences and challenges for us as Christians, because there are things in our lives that we don't want to leave go of because it's good, it's satisfying, and there are sins that, you know, persist, and we wonder why we're having this battle and things. But you know what? Allow Jesus Christ tonight to refresh you and to tell you that I am Lord in your life, and I have conquered death, I've conquered hell, and I've delivered you from the bondage of sinfulness and iniquity, and I brought you into this wonderful, awesome relationship, okay? And this relationship is rooted in Christ. It has to be rooted in Christ. Which brings me on to rooted and built up in Him. Being rooted in Christ and built up in Him have to work hand in hand. You can't build something without firm foundations, okay? And likewise, a tree won't grow unless the roots go deep. Okay, so the example of a tree, what I think about is massive trees that kind of tower over the earth, and they stand tall and proud, and the wind comes and it's blowing, you know, a gale, and it's shaking a little bit, some leaves will fall off. But what you don't see are the roots in the ground, which can be up to twice the depth to the tree is high. It can be twice as deep. So it's got to be firmly planted in the ground. And so it's, you talked about stability, okay? Solid in Christ, and it causes us to be stable. The other thing I think about with trees is that the roots are there for a purpose, not just as an anchor to support the tree, but it draws the nutrients. I might be teaching you to suck eggs here, but, you know, it draws nutrients from the ground and water and minerals to strengthen the tree and then to grow and to produce fruit, okay? So we have to be planted firmly and rooted in Christ for Christ to cause us to grow and to produce fruit. And then, you know, fruit being thankfulness, which we come on to later, and love and peace and joy. And, you know, all of these things are evidences that we are firmly planted in Christ. Okay? And we read, don't we, in Matthew 13, verse 2, the seed fallen on rocky ground refers to someone who has heard the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. You know, there's no root in, there's no stability. So that the root can't dig any deeper because there's things in the way. Okay? The other thing, which runs a little bit parallel to that, is about foundations. Now, I studied a building when I was in college, and we talked about different foundations, and you get like little strip foundations. It is what it is. It's a strip foundation, and they all tie in the corners, and then you put the slab down, and you build up from there. And then you get like a raft foundation. And what a raft foundation does is exactly as it's described. So your foundation, imagine that's concrete, and you build a raft in the ground. Pour concrete, you reinforce it with rebar or reinforcement bar, and then what happens? You build a house on top, and any movement in the ground, the raft supports the house in its entirety, and you don't get breaks in the corners and walls falling down. So it supports the house as it is. The other thing you get is pile foundations. And what you do, you get enormous piles, and they're driven into the ground to a depth that is acceptable then to build. So when you think about foundations, you have to think about two things. The first thing is what it's going to support. And the second thing is the ground conditions. Okay? There's a famous building in Dubai, and it is currently the world's tallest building. They always do things big over there. It's called the Burj Khalifa. It's in Dubai. It's over 828 meters and more than 160 stories above the earth. Now, for them to be able to achieve that feat, I mean, it's awesome. Have a look at pictures of it. It stands like much taller than other buildings there. They would not be able to start that unless they got the foundations right. You can't build unless you've got the foundations in place and designed to accommodate the structure then that follows. Okay? And then the structure in itself is amazing. But they used, just for some figures, 45,000 cubic meters of concrete alone in the foundations. Okay? Weighing more than 110,000 tons. And the foundations were dug to a depth of 50 meters. And they used the pile kind of setup, and they were 1.5 meters in diameter, and they drove them down up to 50 meters in the ground. And there are 43 of them. Now, the slab that then ties into that is 3.7 meters thick. So you can imagine what's involved, again, making sure that it's stable and that it's solid to build off. Now, sorry, I've lost my, should have numbered my pages. Yeah, I've got it. So when you dig foundations, this isn't a lecture, by the way, on construction and foundation types. You'll understand why. You always dig down and try and find the best soil, okay? Now, everybody says and they teach you that the best thing to do with foundation is to find rock, natural rock, because it's solid. And the Bible actually describes Christ as, says that the foundation's on the rock. Okay, it actually says in the Bible about foundation on the rock. And I never noticed that before. And that is the best form or the best type of foundation you can get. Is when you dig down deep enough and you get concrete and then you tie in your concrete to the rock. Solid, it's firm. There won't be any issues after that. It's a builder's joy if they dig down a meter and find rock. If they dig down and find, you know, silt or, you know, loose clay or whatever, they have to go deeper. So you have to keep going deeper. So it's important that we understand where Paul is coming from this. He says, we rooted and built up in him. Him being Jesus Christ. Now Christ has to be the center of it all. He has to be the center. Now, as magnificent as that building sounds, you know, 50 meters deep, even the concrete isn't strong enough. They have to then reinforce it. And they used reinforcement, which would span around, if you stretch it out, a quarter of the earth's circumference. It would go right around, well, not right around, but a quarter of the earth's surface. That's how much reinforcement bar they required. So the point I'm trying to make here, okay, is that Christ is our solid rock. Now, God knew that everything else would be useless. Everything else would be worthless. It wouldn't be strong enough. You know, why would we want to live our lives on something that's insecure? You know, Jesus is the rock on which we stand, and we build our lives off him. So we knew in our frailty and our weakness and our sinful nature that not only do we need a Savior to forgive us of our sins, he gave us a Savior who is the rock on which we stand. He is our, he's where we rooted, he's where we built up, he's where we strengthened. Everything has to come from Christ. Christ has to be the center and the root of which we grow. Anyone who hears these words of mine, put them into practice, like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Rain came, the storms rose, and the wind blew, and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had foundations on the rock. Okay? Not piles driven into sand. And we've all seen only the consequences of storms and rain recently in Norfolk, where all those houses have fallen into the sea. They've got a concrete base, but the waves and the water are still washing the sand out from underneath it, because you need to be firm. And sometimes in our lives, we put our trust and we build our lives on things that don't last, on things that, you know, are worthless in effect, you know, compared to being built up in Christ. And that is one of the challenges for us tonight, is that maybe we need to kind of realign our focus. Have we been influenced to put our trust in anything else other than Christ? You know, let's be refreshed. Allow God to refresh us this evening. The other thing that Paul talks about then is strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And he reminds them of the things they were taught at the beginning. And that being said, it's the message of the gospel. It's what they understand Christ to be and the grace that they've received in Jesus. The forgiveness of sins, you know, redemption. And he's brought us back into this place of worship with God. And one of the things I forgot to mention, actually, is that they needed reminding of Christ's sovereignty, of Christ's supremacy. I want to read the scripture because I think it's tremendous. In chapter 1, verse 15 to 23, Colossians. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, him being Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your own mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the dead, present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. If you continue your faith established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Christ is the head. He has to be the center. He has to be where we're rooted as Christians in order to grow and to produce fruit. The other thing Paul then goes on to talk about is, is this kind of overflowing with thankfulness. So that's the next thing. So we read, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ is, in fact, Lord over our lives. And he wants to be in control of everything. He wants to be in charge of everything. And Lord is defined as a person with authority or power over others, a master or chief or ruler, but not as a dictator trying to force us. We have to choose to do it. We have to choose, and we can encourage and build one another up to ensure that we remain fixed on Christ. So overflowing with thankfulness. You know, I think thankfulness is it's just more than saying thank you. I think sometimes the price of Christ, you know, paid for us. I think sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. It's hard to understand what he actually went through. And I think when we get a glimpse of that, what happens is there's an overwhelming thankfulness that takes place, which is more than just saying, thank you, Jesus. It's in fact a process of expressing worship to Jesus. It has to be more than saying thank you. It has to be from the heart overflowing with thankfulness and worship to God. We have to give him praise. You know, and if you know Christ in your lives and you are firmly fixed in him and you're being built up, be thankful as well. But it's a thankfulness that has to overflow from the heart. And it's your experience with God. It's your experience with Christ. It's a personal relationship, as well as the corporate thing when we come together, but it's a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, and you are firmly planted and rooted in him. You are built up in him, strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and then overflowing with thankfulness. So we have to make sure that there is that process of expression. It's not really a process, but within our hearts, from the depth of our hearts, we know what Christ has done for us, and it kind of just melts us. You know, we have those moments where we say thank you, and, you know, we might mean it, but there should be an overwhelming thankfulness to Jesus. And that, in turn, becomes worship. We worship him, and we thank him in worship. So just to recap, do we know Christ as Lord over our lives today? Is he the center? Is he the focus? Or are we allowing other influences to come in and distract us or cause us to deviate from the truth? Are we rooted in Christ? If you don't know Christ, I'd encourage you to ask us afterwards, and we can talk to you and things. But being built up in Christ is the only way to be built up, because he is the solid rock. Everything else will just crumble. You know, even our great big tower in Dubai might fall down one day. You never know. But it's really important that we are then strengthened in the faith as we were taught. And being strengthened in the faith is about reading the Word of God, understanding it, meditating on it, and allowing that then to change our actions and our thought process. It's not just a case of reading words. We have to apply it. The application has to be there to our lives. Lord, I receive this message. And how do I go about making this work in my life? You know, and it isn't a huge task that isn't achievable. It's all achievable as long as we keep Christ in the center. And then overflowing with thankfulness, let's worship God with thankful hearts, overflowing with the grace that He's poured into our lives and what He's done for us. Amen.